In today's episode, I develop an addiction, JJ gets the picture, and Mike really hates the delivery man. This is episode 86. Keep it moving as we do here on Funsphere Game Club. Hi, I'm Josh.
I'm JJ.
I'm the fisherman.
And our comrade Samantha is not with us today. She's got some travel plans that delayed her, so it's just going to be us fellas today on these episodes. Hope you guys don't mind that. Let's jump right in, and you know what? Let's just get to the elephant in the room with Mr. Hypocrite himself,
Mike. I'm not a hypocrite. We go through this every time.
He made it clear that he was buying a day one, like
yeah,
a year ago.
I said I did not get the Switch One at launch, but ended up enjoying that system more than most. And because of that, decided early on that I would be a day one adopter of the Switch 2. I don't know where you've jumbled it in your head that I said otherwise, but I have never. You can go back and listen to all of our recordings.
I never go back and listen to our previous words. It's keep moving forward.
They age like fine wine.
Certain. I'm sure they do. I mean, so tell us about your experience with your fancy new handheld and how you were given a personal invitation to buy one from Mr. Miyamoto himself. See, folks, if you buy four of those Nintendo alarm clocks, they don't tell you. You get immediately put on a specialized list for the newest product availability.
Yeah, so the pre-order thing was a mess. I think we talked about this in the past. I eventually was able to get one through Walmart. But then whenever I got the email from Nintendo, because there was like a month in between you signing up for an invite and then getting one, I was kind of on the fence because I figured if I ordered through Nintendo, it was going to take several days for it to get to me. Yeah. But at the same time, I knew that I wanted the GameCube controller, and the only way to get that is through Nintendo. And they wouldn't let you get accessories by themselves. You had to get the system to get the accessories, at least for the initial pre-order. So I decided to cancel my Walmart pre-order and go through Nintendo instead. And thank God I did, because a bunch of people got their pre-orders canceled from Walmart the week of.
Yep.
But it was cool. I got the system that day. They overnight shipped it, or two-day shipping, and they sent it early so that it got here. But the pain in the ass was UPS was supposed to deliver it at 12:30. And so I kept watching on the app, and it shows you exactly where his truck is. Yeah. And this motherfucker, I've never seen a more nonsensical way of delivering packages in my life, because he'd be like right here and then he'd go over here, but then he'd backtrack and go back to around the same area he was. And he just kept doing that. And I watched him for, he didn't get there until 6. I was so mad. And by then it was time for dinner, and so I didn't really get to do anything the first night except for do the transfer.
I would have just followed him.
I could imagine Mike getting in his car, like driving, like speeding down the road, seeing the guy on his app and like just pulling across the road and like blocking his truck and be like, "Hey," and holding up his phone. He's like, "I'm right here. Give it to me now."
It's like a
I mean, I was one holiday season several years ago, I did the driver helper. And so I know how that operates. So it was just mind blowing that this guy was delivering like this. Hate that guy.
Maybe he knew it was a switch and he knew it was you.
He just wanted to keep it out of your hands for a couple more hours. He's like, man, fuck that guy.
Yeah. He's like, my Walmart order was canceled, so I'm going to make him suffer too.
Yeah,
I got it. It's everything that I hoped.
Okay.
Mario Kart is incredible. Might be my favorite Mario Kart.
With 24 people? Stressful?
Yeah. Well, it's been super easy for me so far, but I'm going through it on 50cc.
Hmm.
But I haven't gotten to play too much of it, maybe a couple hours. But I've tried the different modes, and they're all fun. Like the Grand Prix, it's like the normal ones, but then you also get a little bit of the like driving to the next track, so that's cool. Yeah. It's so insane how they've managed to use all the old levels, but then tie them all together in this seamless world. And the knockout tour is a lot of fun.
Okay.
But it's like an intense thing because you're going through so many tracks.
Yeah, I've read that's been kind of the response. Is like, it's really good, but it's super intense for some reason.
Yeah.
It's very competitive.
I have not done online yet, but I imagine that's where it's going to really get hairy.
Oh.
And then the open world is really cool, like doing the free roam. I mean, you'll find a bunch of the those P blocks around the world, and it triggers like these little quick mini games, like drive through all these rings in this amount of time and that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
and a lot of them are really difficult, so there will be definitely a learning curve there.
Okay, I've got a question for you. So you mentioned the transfer process. Did it take a long time?
It did not too long. It was really just trying to download everything that took forever. Mm-hmm. But that's optional. So like, it'll transfer everything from your Switch. You got the OLED, right?
Yeah, I do.
It was the same kind of process.
Okay. So I guess my next question then, was anything non-compatible that you had?
Not that I saw, no.
Okay.
Well, I mean, like the Labo stuff I know is not going to work,
yeah.
But that's because of the physical size.
Yeah. Okay. But so I guess this is my question. I'm just thinking about it is, so if you've got everything transferred and everything moved over, is there any reason to hang on to the original one?
No, I'll be selling it.
Ah, that's what I was wondering myself, is like, how many people are going to be unloading their old Switches because this thing literally moves everything over. And I kind of like that as someone that has a living room full of old consoles. It is nice when everything moves over, you know, or you don't have anything super rare that you need to keep the original hardware for. I know Mike is also a bit of a collector, so I know he usually hangs on to his old system. So it's interesting to see you're going to be getting rid of one.
Yeah, this one. I mean, Angela still has the Animal Crossing Switch, which was like not the OLED, the original one.
Yeah.
So we'll keep that one. That way we still can use the Labo stuff. Mm-hmm. But there's no reason to keep the OLED.
Okay.
So, everything transferred. What about Deadly Premonition 2? I think that's what everyone needs to know. How does it play?
I haven't tried it, but I have seen people talk about it already. Where they're asking what games did not get a considerable gameplay boost with this or performance boost. And somebody wrote a lengthy attack on Deadly Premonition 2.
Why would you expect it to have a boost?
They said the first one seems to have improved more than the second one.
I guarantee that is horseshit, because the first one didn't even run on the system. So what, it now runs? Is that how it's an exclusive update? This thing now actually works? Please. Please.
Yeah, I mean, we're not asking for Nintendo to make it a better new game altogether, right?
No. The funny thing is, in this big wide world of ours, somebody bought the Switch 2 with the intent of making sure their Deadly Premonition got the upgrade. That's just... It's a statistical non-zero effect, I assure you. Someone's like, yes, this thing finally runs now. Now I can play this, you know, 30-year-old game at this point on this brand new system. I don't care about Mario Kart World or any of that other stuff. I just want Deadly Premonition to play.
Yeah, that's how you
and
get
then
that.
They were hard. Yeah, I was gonna say, and the person that wrote that article that Mike is referencing to is, they were then heartbroken by the fact that Deadly Premonition 2 didn't get any sort of upgrade. Wow.
And then gave the system a 1-star, said, I can't play this thing.
Totally trash. Complete trash.
But yeah, the Zelda was a noticeable boost. Okay. But then that's the one that they're... If you don't have the Switch Online, I think it's, $10 extra?
Yeah. So since you had the Switch Online, you got the upgrade version for that for free?
Yep.
Sweet. That's a pretty good deal.
It's just a bummer because I... like, I've already spent, 300 hours in the game? So I don't know that I'll be playing it again, at least not for a few years. If I ever do want to go back to it, it'll look nicer. I am thinking about getting, because right now I just have Mario Kart, but I'm thinking about finally getting Cyberpunk, because I've been reading good things about this version.
Hmm. And I think it's they're offering it as a complete edition, right, with all the DLC and stuff?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So I'll probably pick that up at some point. Other than the Switch has been the past 2 days, but really what I had been playing since our last recording has been Dredge.
Okay.
Yes, which I highly recommend for both of you. It's a fishing game.
Okay.
But it's really interesting. Like, the gameplay is you're controlling a boat the entire time. But then you can, you fish and you go to, docks to go sell your fish, and you can upgrade the boat and do all this stuff. But the world that you're in at nighttime gets really crazy.
Okay.
So it's kind of like a...
Simon's Quest? It's a terrible...
Kind of, yeah, yeah. So, but it does stuff like Eternal Darkness, where the more you're exposed, the trippier things get. Like, you've got, there's a compass at the top middle of the screen that has the compass part, and then the daytime and nighttime stuff, like a clock. Jesus, a clock.
Yeah.
There's an eye that opens up whenever you start to get spooked, and then the color will change the more spooked you are, but you see so much crazy shit. It's awesome.
Is the gameplay first person or
no, it's a third person. Okay. Yeah, just driving a boat around. But the upgrade system is really fun. All the fishing mini games are fun. And then you'll dredge stuff up from the depths. So that's a fun little mini game. And there's a ton of fish to collect. So for people who enjoy collecting things in games, that's a big bonus.
Okay. JJ, I think we cut you off when you had a question.
Oh, no. I was going to just say they just added it to the PlayStation Network as well, because I think Mike and I talked about this a few weeks ago, and I was like, maybe I'll buy it. And then they lowered the price and just released it on the network as well, so that's pretty cool.
Okay.
It's good. I did beat the game, and then I found out that there was DLC for it. So where I was playing it on Game Pass, so you can play it for free, Josh.
Okay.
But I enjoyed it so much that I ended up buying the game so that I could get the DLC.
Hmm. That's how they got me with Lawnmower Simulator.
Really?
I need to
dangle the carrot.
Give you the free game, and then they say, hey, look at all this DLC, but you got to buy the game. And I was like, oh, you know what? Sure.
Why not?
Actually, I think that's a great system. It's, you know, kind of try before you buy.
Yeah, sure.
Okay. Anything else you were playing?
I don't think so. I pretty much got obsessed with Dredge.
Okay. JJ, what have you been playing?
So Mike will get a kick out of this one. I picked up Viewfinder finally.
Did you?
Yeah, it was $9. So I was like, yeah, I've got to get this game. And it is fantastic.
I want to play it.
Yeah, the trailer doesn't do the game any justice at all, because you start off, you don't have a Polaroid camera. Oh, Josh, I don't know if you know anything about Viewfinder. It's pretty much a puzzle-solving game where you have a Polaroid camera. You take a picture or something, and then it builds the scene. It just adds on. So you can have like you need to cross a bridge. If you happen to have a picture of a bridge, you can just put that in front of you, and it adds a bridge to the scene.
Ah.
And it's kind of trippy. But you start off originally just by picking up pictures. And there's copy machines. There's a rewind feature. If you mess up, you can go back. There's multiple ways you can solve problems. You know, some of the pictures you have, things are upside down, so you have to turn the picture upside down and stuff falls from the sky. It's great. It kind of reminds me of the way that the scene moves. What was that movie? Inception, when they're fighting in the rotating room, kind of.
Yeah.
But with a lot of
depth. Did you guys ever play Echo Chrome?
No. I've never played it.
It was a Sony puzzle game that was on the PS3. It was really good. The soundtrack is incredible. It's like a string quartet. But the rule of the game is, if you can see it in the world, it exists. It's like a monochrome, like, do you know that game Monument Valley?
Oh, yeah.
That kind of seems like a ripoff of Echo Chrome, where it's like all these girders and stuff, but like, say there's a hole on a platform that you can't cross, you spin the camera around so that something's covering the hole, and it's like the hole doesn't exist now.
Okay.
Yeah. And so the game is interesting like that, because, yeah, you can see something that can clearly be a problem, but you can just put a picture in the way or turn your angle or whatever and add something more or remove something that doesn't need to be there. So it's good. Yeah. So there's parts like there's a sunset, and you're like, oh, I'll just put this, but it actually opens a door, because if you angle it right, you can just, you know, go through a door. And it's great. I'm still pretty early. I think the game's only 10 hours long. I'm about hour 3 into it, but two of those hours are just pure mistakes. Like, just keep messing up. But it's good. It's good. I think it's great. And for $9 right now, it's fantastic.
Okay.
So, is it still PlayStation exclusive?
Yeah, that's the bad thing about that. Sorry, Mike.
Damn it. Okay. Anything else other than that one?
I started another game called Wanderstop, and it's you pretty much work in a coffee shop. It's or a tea shop, sorry. You're a fighter, and you kind of get burnt out of fighting, and then you just pick up the side job as a working in a tea shop, and it's supposed to be like a cozy game, but it makes you work a lot. And the trick to it, and that's kind of the thing about it, it's about burnout and all of this, but really it's a lot deeper than that. And it's from the guys that did the Stanley Parable, at least one of the guys. So it's kind of a joke. It's not a cozy game. You're working more than you would have done in a fighting game. And you're constantly trying to make people happy. And you're like, well, it's kind of frustrating, but they're just kind of dragging you along about. I think that's where they're going. I don't know. I haven't beat that one yet either. And it's only 10 hours. So I'm trying to get both of these wrapped up before the end of the month, which is Death Stranding. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That's yeah. already coming out?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Dang.
So, yeah, so I started getting frustrated with that one because I'm like, oh, I'm about to put myself in a game where I have to walk a lot again and work. And this one is kind of a like trolling me to work even more for burnout and explain how I – so I stopped that one and did Viewfinder. And so I'm going to get back to it once I finish Viewfinder.
So you're saying you were burnout on the game about burnout?
And yeah. I think that's the joke about it right now. Yeah, because to make tea, you've got to go through this machine. It's like a four-step process, and you've got to grow the plants. And it seems like it's fun until you have to do it. And you're like, oh, no.
Keep
this
up
is,
with demand.
Yeah, no, I can't.
I would say from, you know, I remember like one of the Stanley Parable, like, achievements was like to revisit the game a year later and then 10 years later and then like so I could totally see them making a game that's like, yeah, we told you this is a cozy game, but it's actually how about crushing this job is and burning out on it and stuff like that. I could totally see them doing something
right
like that.
for sure but it's good. I do enjoy it. I do recommend it, but I don't know if I'm ready to play that kind of game, because originally I was doing Death Stranding and I made it about 25 hours into that. And I was still in the first few chapters. And I'm like, this is not even the tip of the iceberg for me. So I just stopped and I was like, I'll just wait for the sequel. Got burnt out on that.
I was going to say, and they've already done the remaster of that game.
Right.
So were you playing the remaster or the original?
Yeah, I was playing the remaster
okay.
to get some additional story. Some of the new... You know, they had some stealth missions, some other parts to it that's supposed to lead into part two. And I was like, oh, yeah, I'm going to check this out. Decided I'll read on it. And I think part two has a little a pre-chapter that tells you everything that's happened, just in case. Because, you know, that game mm-hmm. was, what, 5-6 years ago?
Yeah. Man. Oh, I got a quick question for you guys. I think you were – what was that game that Samantha was playing that you guys were both going to start? Did either of you start it?
I just did that one night that I played it, and I never went back to it.
Clair Obscur, Expedition 33? Yeah. Yeah, I didn't do it. I was waiting for a price drop. And it was a cheaper game, too, so I don't know why I was waiting for a price drop on it. But, you know, I didn't know if I was going to pull the trigger, like if I saw a Switch in the wild. And, that's only $400. I can do this. And
well, no, I was because I think they've already announced there's going to be some DLC for it, so maybe waiting might be the best thing to do. I also downloaded it to start playing it, which is going to be a theme in the games that I played. but I didn't know if either of you had finished it.
Mm-mm. Not yet.
Okay. So, JJ, I got to ask. We saw the trailer for NCAA 26. Will you be getting the new version when it comes out?
As much as I want to, I don't think so, just because it's too close to Death Stranding. I just saw NCAA 25, whatever, for $9. If I can wait till the holiday season and get it for $39, which I always do, or get the Madden and college football combo, if I decide to do that, I'll do it. But I don't think I'm going to get it day one. I don't. I would like to, but no. Long story short, Brennan and I traded cars. Yeah, so you can have a better car. So he's driving my car, and I'm driving his car, which is the same car I had when I was 19. So it's a 99 Jeep Wrangler. So
hey, still running.
It's yeah, I drove the Maryville today, and it took about, felt like 2 hours, but it was fun. It was fun.
Gotcha.
So, yeah, so we'll be looking for a car soon.
Gotcha, yep. That adulting always gets in the way of video games.
Always.
It sure does.
Always. Unless it's a car simulator game, I can test to run a couple couple cars here. Maybe help me out here.
Oh, all right. So that is a great segue for me then, because I have downloaded several games to play. All right. So the first one I downloaded was the Clair Obscur game. And then I noticed that Car Mechanic Simulator 2021 was a Game Pass exclusive game. I was like, oh, that sounds right up my alley. I'll download that to play. And then I was like, wait a minute, in the middle of my vacation, Capcom Fighting Collection 2, which I've already pre-ordered and bought, came out. And that means next week, Onimusha 2, which I love that game, has come out. So I was downloading all these games, and I was like, all right, which one do I want to play? And I was like, oh, I forgot to download my free PlayStation games for May. And I was like, oh, what's this game? Baltro? I'll give it a whirl while my other games are downloading.
Oh, dear.
Oh, that was a mistake.
Was it JJ talking about that game? Or was it Tyler?
Tyler was talking about it, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It's a roguelike poker game. So it, like, you play it, like, two times, and I think you're hooked. Like, it's like crack. It is, like, I've put, like, 30-plus hours into the game.
Wow.
Dang.
Wow.
Like, and you talked about the collection part of your game, Mike. This game also has collectibles. There's, like, 150 unlockable jokers, which are, like, a game modifier. There's, like, four or five different decks with different builds and stuff like that to play. So, and then when you beat the game actually with one of those decks, it unlocks another deck. So it's got a whole bunch of new game plus. And so I literally have been wearing out my PlayStation View, like running literally the battery down on it at nights after work, where I'm like, okay, I'm going to put on the basketball game so I can watch the playoffs. And then I'm like, but still in the meantime, I'll be playing this game. And like, it's one of those things. I had all these games I wanted to play, including ones I've spent money on, and I've been just wearing out this free game. It's sometimes I think it's best just to download those and leave them in the library and maybe come back to them at some point. But I was like, what am I going to wait while it's downloading all these games? Oh, I'll just try this because it uploaded. It's a super simple game, but man, is it addictive. Especially like if you like poker and you like roguelikes, then this game is definitely for you. Just, you know, buyer beware. You're going to get sucked in.
And it's on the Apple Arcade too, Mike, if you decide you want to give it a shot. But again, to Josh's point, it's one that you won't be able to put down.
Yeah. It's deceptively simple, but then it's super complex and you really get built into it. It's a vicious game. They should literally have like a warning on it before you start the game. Addictive gameplay. Go ahead. I was gonna say I did break down and was like, I need to force myself to play one of these other games. And I thought for sure it was gonna be Onimusha 2, but nope. I got into Capcom Fighting Collection 2. I was like, the draw of Power Stone is just too much. I've got to play Power Stone. And Power Stone 2 and Capcom versus SNK 2. Oh, that game is so good. That's still one of my best favorite fighting games. I still have the original version on PlayStation 2.
Wow.
And I have, it's so, they did, again, another fantastic collection. Only undercut by the recent announcement that Arc Systems is making the next Marvel versus game. And it's Marvel versus Marvel, but it's a four-player game. So it's really weird that Capcom put this out and then they announced, oh, by the way, the next game that should be Marvel versus Capcom, we'll call it 4 because Infinite sucked so bad, that they're like, oh, yeah, totally different company is making it and none of the Capcom characters are in it. But it's totally the same game. So that was announced recently, and I thought that was wow. I was like, no wonder they got this thing out in time. They're like, we need to get this out to make people remember that we made the original version, and it's always still the best. So that was good. Really didn't play anything else, like I said, because that Baltro game has become so much a part of my life now. schedule rotates around it and things like that. I may have to just remove that from the system because it's – too good. It's too good, man.
Yeah, I was talking to your brother about Capcom Fighting 2. And I forgot the release date, so I ran and picked it up. But I picked it up on the Switch, and he told me you guys are playing it on the PS5, right?
Yeah, I got it on PS5 this time.
Oh, man. Yeah, so I couldn't find it physical in the anywhere in town, so I didn't want to order it. So I just got the physical version for the Switch, so I'll get the digital on the PS5 probably.
I did that with the first one, and I haven't yet bought a physical copy of this, but I will probably get the second one for the Switch too at some point. The system or the game did go on sale after a little while, so that's kind of what I'm waiting for, is maybe see it drop on Amazon or something like that and get a copy of it.
Yeah, for sure. But yeah, mine's still in the plastic. I guess I was too busy making tea. What's going on here? Get it together.
I think I'm literally going to keep the first one for Switch in the plastic and sealed, just because at some point it may become a collector's edition when they pull it off the market again, which they've done several times with that game. I love that Capcom's doing that, and I don't mind supporting it, but this time I was like, I don't know if I really need to buy two versions of this game, but at the same time I'm like, I should really buy two.
You should. Yeah. Your announcement a couple months ago, you said you were buying it all. You buying all the digital, all the physicals, all of them.
The thing was, I was really hoping they were going to announce a physical version for Xbox, because that would literally be the one to buy and keep sealed, because I guarantee that'll be an eBay seller for $250-$300.
Oh, for sure.
A couple of years. But, yeah, no such luck. They only did it digital for those, so I was like, I'll wait a little bit. Okay. Mike, you look like you got something to say, huh?
I was just thinking about... I was reminded about this game that I'm currently downloading that I think JJ will get a kick out of, especially.
Okay.
Though I don't know... It's on the play date, but there might be a way that you can experience it.
Maybe
elsewhere.
I just go. Can you still buy the play date?
Yeah.
Okay. Maybe.
It's an FMV game
on the play
called
date?
Blippo. Yeah, Blippo Plus. But it's a here, I'll send this link.
Well.
So, Mike, is there anything that's been... I'm just thinking real quick back to the Switch 2. Besides Mario Kart, is there any other new games that are available for it with launch? The Donkey Kong game's not out. Metroid Prime's not out. Is there anything that's...
There are some games, none that I'm interested in.
Okay.
Definitely no other Nintendo games.
Okay.
So they're all like third-party stuff.
I was going to say, aren't they just mostly the releases from previous generations of stuff? Like you mentioned Cyberpunk and stuff like that.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. I couldn't remember if they put out any...
Actually, I take that back. There is that $10 tech demo, but...
I was going to ask, did you pick that up, Mike? Just
no.
Being a fan.
I want to, but I kind of agree with everybody else. We need to make a stand that should have been free.
Yes.
Especially when I am almost sure that that's going to be one of those things. There's going to be few and far between adaptations of that usage of that, of the controller. There'll probably be versions later on that's not even a thing. Like they'll probably come out with a Switch 2 Lite or something like that. That'll be like all fused just like the previous one, and it won't even support that feature anymore. Oh, I was going to ask, did you also do the share a game thing? Did you try that by any chance?
The what?
Remember you could share your game onto another Switch?
Oh, yeah. No, I haven't tried that yet.
Okay. Maybe just give that a whirl just to see how it works.
And it's the Select games, right? I think I'm looking at the list right now. Deadly Premonition 1 and 2 are the only shareable games at the moment. No, I'm kidding.
And it's like virus software. Like, it gets it off of your system and onto theirs.
Yeah. You could use it like AirDrop, where you just AirDrop to strangers. Take this Deadly Premonition.
And then you like run away so they can't, you get out of range so they can't AirDrop it back.
Or those email chains where it's like, forward this to 20 people or else you'll be cursed.
Right. It does it all on their social media that they're currently playing Deadly Premonition 2.
Yes. Oh, wow.
Oh, that'd be great, actually.
That would make like a good episode of maybe like Black Mirror or something like that. It's like the deadly premonition. Like, it's a, to get a copy of a cursed game. But it's just Deadly Premonition 2. It doesn't, like, kill you or anything. You're just like, oh, God, no. No, not me. Like, and it's just, like, hot potatoing between people. And then you're like, that'd be great.
Yeah, it's like you can't go back to work. You can't do anything until the game's complete.
Yeah. It just, like, you can see the links people will go to not to play the game. Like, you can just see somebody, like, sitting on, a building ledge, and it pops on their system, and they're like, no, fuck this. And they just jump over the side.
That would be awful. Yeah, imagine just finishing the game, and you're just walking downtown, say you're on vacation, and all of a sudden something bumps you, and then you've got Deadly Premonition 2 again on your Switch. Gotta beat it again.
Oh, no. Yeah, it locks all your other games until it's removed or can be beaten. It
locks your credit cards, everything. Oh, gosh.
You can't buy a new system. The first thing it'll do is it just downloads that game onto it.
Oh, man.
I also like the idea of, like, gifting your enemies a copy of Deadly Premonition 2 as a sort of revenge. Like, but it'd be like the Count of Monte Cristo type revenge. It's like the ultimate revenge is you just get Deadly Premonition 1 and 2 on their Switches.
Well, 1's good, though. I mean, until the very end.
Yeah. Good. Good, really, JJ?
I mean...
That's the adjective you're using?
Yeah, good? I'm going with it. Good. I had a great time. Although, when I played it, I was recovering from leg surgery, so I had nowhere to go.
Yeah, I mean, I can say I really enjoyed the first half of the first game.
Yeah.
I like that. Well, it's like, I'm either going to deal with searing leg pain or play Deadly Premonition 2. You're like, I guess this is slightly better than searing leg pain.
Right, okay. But knowing what the center sandwich was and where they were going with it was fantastic. What was it called in the part two, Mike, when you had to get all those ingredients from the mailbox? The... what was that meal called you had to make?
Something Trinity?
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Was it the Holy Trinity or something like that?
No.
I'm cheating right now. But, yeah, it was terrible.
And then he just makes a bongo out of it.
Yeah. The Taboo Trinity.
Taboo Trinity.
Oh, my gosh.
I love the fact how much Deadly Premonition 2 has showed up in this episode. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's truly the curse of Funsphere. We can't escape it until maybe some other podcast will start talking about it. Maybe we won't be able to remember it at that point.
Yeah, maybe that should have been the name. Switch 2. Deadly Premonition.
Deadly Premonition. Not Super Switch, not Switch 2 Electric Boogaloo.
It should have been Premonition. Dead Tooly Switch. Like the spelling?
Yeah. Oh, wow. Yeah, Dead Tooly. Oh, I'm going with it. I love it.
All right. Anybody else got any games or anything like that they want to talk about? Nah, I think we'll... All right, that's cool. We'll call it here then. All right, we'll see you next time, folks. Bye.
Bye. Bye.